Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Again today, I am continuing a series that I started yesterday, and this is taken from one of our Gospel Truth seminars that was made over New Year's weekend in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm teaching on how to stay positive in a negative world, and we're taking this teaching directly from our Gospel Truth seminar. It's a little new look, a different way of ministering, but the Word is still the same, and I really believe that this teaching is something that is pertinent for us today. Jesus said in Matthew 24:12 that because iniquity shall abound in the end times, the love of many is going to wax cold. And I think that we see that happening in our day and age today. We are having the news media present all of the negatives of the world right in our home. They come into our living room, and it takes some effort to be able to overcome that and keep your love from growing cold. If you've ever felt like your love for the Lord has diminished, if you feel that the world is pulling you in another direction, this teaching is for you, and I'm really excited about it. So we're taking it from a Gospel Truth seminar made in Phoenix, Arizona, teaching on how to stay positive in a negative world. If you'll watch this, I believe it will minister to you, and at the end of our program, we'll offer you some products where you can get more ministry on this subject.
Look over in Matthew chapter 24. For those of you that are familiar with this passage of Scripture, this is Jesus talking about the end times. His disciple had asked when the end times would come and what it would be like. And here's Jesus teaching on the end times. And you know, I don't know for sure that we're in the end times, but I can tell you this is my end times. Amen. These are my last days. And so I'm believing God for great things. Matthew chapter 24, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You know, I have read that passage of Scripture since I was a kid. And I've heard it prophesied that there would be many coming. And I've heard stories about, like, in the Baha'i faith. I don't know how many of you are aware of the Baha'i faith, but they believe that Jesus came back. I forget the exact year, but it was in early 1900s, and things were in such a mess, he decided he'd go back and come a third time. And that's the Baha'i faith and stuff. And I've heard stories about things like that, but honestly, I thought, this is weird. Did you know Jamie and I were driving to church back in May, I think it was, and they advertised the Jesus Christ show coming on. And I thought about, oh, this is weird. I wonder what this is about. And we listened, and it was a guy on our local radio station in Colorado Springs. It's syndicated around the nation, and he is claiming to be Jesus. And people called in, and they were saying, well, what about this? And he says, well, I remember when I was hanging on the cross, how hard it was for me. And this guy is telling people these things. This is no longer off in the future. There are people today saying that they are the Christ, and this guy has a syndicated Jesus Christ show telling people about when he was here on the earth and what he did. This is a sign of the end times. In verse 6 it says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Boy, all of that is coming to pass. And these are the beginning, all of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, that is one strong statement right there. This is saying that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. And as a matter of fact, if you look this word up, when it talks about the love of many, it's not really talking about just many. It's talking about most, the majority. As a matter of fact, I was reading this afternoon, and I wrote down some of the translations. Here's the NIV. It says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The New American Standard says, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. The Phillips translation says, because of the spread of wickedness, the love of most men will grow cold. Weymouth said, and because of the prevalent disregard of God's law, the love of the great majority will grow cold. The Amplified says, and the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. This is not talking about just a few. This is saying that when evil grows and prevails, it affects the relationship of people with God. That's a strong statement. And you know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but again, if you don't agree with this, you aren't paying attention. That we are living in a wicked time. We are living in a time where, things that when I was a kid, if you would have told anybody that they would be having parades where people are bragging about being homosexuals and promoting it and flaunting it, people would have thought that'll never happen. There's always been homosexuals, but people used not to have parades and brag about it and be bold about it. We are seeing lawlessness. We are seeing iniquity abound. If you don't share that opinion, you just aren't paying attention. You aren't thinking properly. We are living in a wicked time, and the Scripture says that when this iniquity abounds, the love of most people will wax cold. And this word for waxed, you know, it's a word picture. The way that they used to make candles is they would take a wick and they would dip it in hot wax and lift it out. And in just a second time out, it would that wax would harden and make a little coating around the wick. And then you dip it again and you just do this over and over and over hundreds of times. And you put layer after layer after layer of just thin wax on there. And eventually that's how they made a candle, was by just a repeated dipping of that candle into hot wax and then lifting it out. It's describing this process. This is something, it says that the love of most will grow cold. It doesn't just happen all at once. It's like, the proverbial frog in water, that if you put it in hot water, it'll jump out. But if you put it in cool water and heat it gradually, it'll stay in there until it burns to death. And this is what's happening in our society. It's not just one thing all at once, but we are seeing such an increase of wickedness that just layer after layer, insensitivity after another, people are growing a little bit colder and a little bit colder and aren't even recognizing what's happening. The wickedness around us will affect us if we let it. I'm going to be sharing things with you about how to stop this and how to reverse it. But first of all, you can't solve this problem if you don't even recognize that it's happening. I'm telling you, the association, the environment that you live in affects your love for the Lord. When we live in a wicked society, it affects the way that you love God, unless you are deliberately doing something to counter it. You know, this word waxed, I also wrote this down. This is the Greek word. I looked in two different things. One of them said that this Greek word was P-S-Y-C-H-O, psycho. The other one said it was P-S-U-C-H-O. Somebody's wrong. I don't know which it is, but you know, I thought that was interesting that the word waxed here was the word psycho. Amen. There's bound to be a lesson in that. But I don't know which one is right. But here's what the word literally means. It means to breathe voluntarily but gently. This is just a gentle breathing, and it says that here's the implication. It means a reduction of temperature by evaporation. In other words, it's just such a slight thing. It's similar to evaporation in the way that when things evaporate that it cools stuff off. It's describing a process that happens so slowly and it is so subtle that people aren't recognizing it. You know, I'm trying to sound an alarm tonight that brothers and sisters, whether you know it or not, We are living in a time where people are openly disregarding God. If you stand up and say that you are a Bible-believing Christian, that you believe in the Word of God, I guarantee you, you are going to be made fun of. You are going to be persecuted. People will look at you like something is wrong with you. If you don't recognize that, you probably just haven't stood and taken a stand much, because I can guarantee you, you're going to suffer for it. You know, I've already, like I mentioned, over in the UK, we've had some repercussions to me just saying things that are so simple that you wouldn't think that in a nation, the United Kingdom, 50 to 100 years ago, the vast majority of all the missionaries in the world came out of there. And yet today, if you say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you could be sent to jail. In France, we've got missionaries that we support in France. And did you know that it is against the law to lay hands on a person in France and pray for them? Because especially if they're young or if they're old, you could be charged with practicing medicine without a license. Or if they're young or old, you could be taking advantage of a handicapped person, a person that isn't yet smart enough to recognize the foolishness of religion, or a person who's too old and they're getting senile and they're thinking wrong. And so it's against the law to do those things in France. These things are happening. And you know what? Our nation is moving that direction quickly. Praise God, I'm believing it's not going there. But you know what I'm saying? That we are living in a time that the Scripture here says that when iniquity abounds, because iniquity abounds, the love of many is going to wax cold. This is the tendency. It's like when you go outside. If it's cold outside, I guarantee you, you have a tendency to cool off. You can't stay out in that cold constantly without either bundling up and putting on something to protect yourself or coming back in to warm up. If you stay in a situation that is like that, you will eventually lose the heat that's in your body, and it could cause hypothermia and it could eventually kill you. It's the same thing in our world. You need to wake up and recognize that we are living in an ungodly world, and because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. And I know that there's some people that think, well, this is all for people in other nations. Again, let me just back up. I read this a minute ago, but in verse 9 it says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." This says of all nations. You know, I really believe that there's coming a time in the United States, just because of this Scripture, it says it will happen in all nations. I don't know if it'll happen in our lifetime. I pray it doesn't, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if things continue going the way that they are. I've already experienced this in France. I've already experienced it in England. That, you know what, I could go to jail for saying some of the things that I say on television. And you know what, I'm still going to say them. I don't care what the results of it is. I'm still going to say them. But my point is, this isn't something that could just happen in another nation somewhere else. This says that you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. All men. If you haven't yet recognized that we are in a hostile environment, you need to. You need to recognize it. You know, I've been traveling, and because of this quote-unquote swine flu, you see people in the airports wearing these masks and doing things, and people using hand sanitizers, and people have got afraid because they're aware that there's a potential problem out there. If you knew that every person that you met was carrying some kind of a disease and all they had to do was sneeze on you or cough in your face or something like that, I guarantee you, you'd act differently. You need to recognize we are living in a situation where Satan is using the evilness of this world to discourage people, not necessarily over things that are happening to you personally, but you can get discouraged watching politics and reading the newspaper and listening to the news and things like that. The love of many wax cold because of the iniquity, the lawlessness that's in this world. Look over in Luke chapter 21. This is also Jesus teaching on the end times. In verse 26 it says, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." in the context, he's talking about how that the sun would actually be darkened, the moon would be turned into blood, the powers of the earth would be shaken. These are some of the things happening in the end times. And it says men's hearts would fail them for fear. This isn't talking about people having a heart attack. The word fail here is literally the word faint. I think that that's the way that it's translated in the NIV and in other translations. It's talking about men's hearts would just literally faint. People would give up. Fear would come upon them. Again, this is the exact opposite of what God was telling Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, where he says, be strong and of a good courage. This is the way we've got to be. We've got to be strong and of a good courage, and we cannot be afraid and we cannot be dismayed. And yet the environment, the situation that we find ourselves in today is discouraging, and it causes men's hearts to faint. It causes our love for God to grow cold. So we are in a hostile environment that if you just leave it to the natural things, if you don't have a plan, and if you don't take the Word of God and make a deliberate stand, the natural thing is for your love for God to grow cold, for your heart to faint, for you to be discouraged and be dismayed. It is not going to happen accidentally. You know, as I was thinking about ministering these things, I went back through my life and what Jamie and I have been through, and you know what? I guarantee you, there are so many times that Jamie and I just stood and encouraged ourselves in the Lord, and we fought discouragement. We never have embraced discouragement. We have never just sat down and said, well, we're discouraged and we give in to it and it's just the way that it is. Sure, we've been discouraged and we've had discouragement come against us, but man, I've fought it and fought it and fought it. And I tell you, you cannot give in to discouragement. You cannot placate it at all. You have to fight this like the plague. You know, if you knew that somebody was carrying cancer and that somehow or another cancer could be communicated just by somebody touching you or something, if you knew that, I guarantee you that you would act differently. You wouldn't just hang out with that person. You wouldn't let that person communicate that thing unto you. You'd fight it. Well, I'm telling you that there is a cancer in this world. There is a cancer in our society today. Iniquity is abounding, and it will cause you to be discouraged and dismayed, and unless you are resisting it and specifically fighting against it, the natural thing is for you to be discouraged and dismayed today. You have to on purpose choose to be encouraged. And again, I'm going to take a lot of scriptures and show you exactly how to do this, but the point I'm making tonight is it's not going to happen until you make a decision that you aren't going to be discouraged, that you are going to resist this discouragement, and you are going to encourage yourself in the Lord. Before I can give you the antidote, I first of all got to show you how dangerous the situation is so that, praise God, people will be motivated to change. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. This is talking about Jesus. And in verse 1 it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Here again is the same thing. It says that men's hearts will fail them or faint because of the things that are happening here on the earth. And if you aren't considering Jesus, you know, you could go back to Matthew chapter 14 where Jesus walked on the water to his disciples, and Peter saw him and he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto you on the water. And the Lord said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water. And as long as he was looking at Jesus, he performed a miracle. He was walking on top of water. This is the only other person recorded in Scripture besides Jesus who ever walked on the water was Peter. And he walked on the water. The Scripture doesn't tell us how far he walked, but as long as he looked at Jesus, he could walk on top of the water. But it says that when he saw the wind and the waves boisterous, he was afraid. Which, remember those verses we started with over in Joshua chapter 1, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid. neither be dismayed. When you let fear in, then all of this strong and good courage leaves. He saw the wind and the waves, and he was afraid, and he began to sink. Did you know that the wind and the waves had nothing to do with him walking on the water? He couldn't have walked on the water if it had been a perfectly calm day. If the water had been glass smooth, he couldn't have walked on the water. What did the wind and the waves have to do with anything? It didn't mean anything, but what it did, it's saying when he took his attention off of Jesus. It says here, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. When he took his attention off of Jesus and he began to look at his surroundings, he began to sink. And you know what? This is exactly what all of this evilness and wickedness that we've been talking about does. It grabs our attention. We start seeing all of this ungodliness, and it takes our attention off of Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and it causes us to become weary and faint in our mind. It's not your spirit. Your born-again spirit's perfect. In the spirit, you are awesome. If you've been born again, you've got the life of God, the fullness of God on the inside of you. But the part where you faint is in your mind. And this world has occupied the attention of this generation of believers, I believe, more than any generation of believers that have ever lived. Through television, radio, all the internet, and all of the access to information that we have, we are hearing things that are happening on the other side of the world at the exact time that they happen. You know, one of the benefits of past generations is that when something happened, it would take 2 or 3 or 4 weeks for people to find out about it, because of the way information traveled. And, like, for instance, if it was something that wasn't that important, well, after 2 or 3 weeks period of time, you know, it was over with and it wasn't a big deal and people were able to kind of deal with it. But we hear stuff at real time and we get all of this terrible things that are going on all over the world just inundated with it in a way that no other generation of believers ever have. We hear about all of the wickedness, all of the perversion, all of the weird things that are going on. It's amazing to me how the news media today reports stuff and the things that they report and the weird stuff that they report. And most of us are paying for it to come into our house. You're paying for this discouragement. You're paying for this dismay. But we are just exposed to all of this stuff. It says that we get weary and faint in our mind. And like Peter, we take our attention off of Jesus. And when we look in another direction and see all of this weirdness that's going on, it causes us to sink. You are going to have to get fanatical about keeping your mind stayed on God.
Join us again tomorrow as Andrew continues his teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in How to Stay Positive in a Negative World is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this first CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a Gift of Any Amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you are being blessed by this teaching, and not only is it helping you, but you know that there are many people that just haven't heard this good news, that God loves them and wants them well, and you're excited about the Word going out. You know, I'd like to ask you, if you haven't yet become a partner with us, to please become a partner and help us get this truth out. We spend close to $1 million a month in just television and radio airtime, and it's about to increase dramatically. And I couldn't do that by myself. The only reason I can do this is because other people recognize that God is using this ministry to set people free and get the truth to them, and they want to help. And so we have people who are partners. If you haven't yet become a partner, we have a number on your screen. I encourage you to call today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp this week, May 28th through the 31st, in Woodland Park, Colorado, June 26th for the Pikes Peak Christian Artist Festival, and in Colorado Springs for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd. He'll also be in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 15th through the 17th, in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
And 25. You'll be to your right.
Andrew, Jamie, and the team traveled by air and train to Karlsruhe, Germany. Here, a Gospel Truth seminar was held in Christus Kathedral, one of the premier Pentecostal congregations in Germany.
Wie ist es möglich, dass ein Mensch so viele Zweifel über
God called them to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go out, and he would show them the nation.
Gott hat sie berufen, Ur in Chaldea zu verlassen und in ein neues Land zu ziehen.
It's not just a one-hour service over 3 days, but he's leaving behind five or six of his major teachings in book format, leaving behind five or six of his major teachings in DVD or CD format in their language. That's what the key is.
During the German conference, Will Graham met with supervisors of Andrew's book translation teams to plan and coordinate projects for the coming year. This group has already seen an astounding 127 of Andrew's books translated into 36 languages worldwide. Will reports that already Christians in China have placed orders for 200,000 copies of Andrew's books. Books that contain the teaching from God's Word that will affect the lives of millions and perhaps billions of people worldwide.
There are 27 nations in the European Union, and we are translating into 19 of those languages.